semi-automatic weapons would look like in our country. I would love to speak with that person because this needs to happen sooner than later so this doesn't happen again. And we all know if we sit around and don't do shit about it, it's going to continue to happen. It is time to ban these weapons. It is time to ban high-capacity magazines. And I would love to speak with somebody that can speak intelligently on the subject. So link me up with that. Until then, here's this week's podcast. The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. If you know anything about me, you know that I've been at my current job for over 20 years now, and honestly, I haven't tried to land many jobs since Scoob and I first cracked the mic here at 101.1 The Beat in December of 2001, which makes me pretty ignorant about how the job market works in 2022. I do know that LinkedIn is a huge part of the game, but how exactly does it work? That's what we're going to answer today. My guest today is Jeremy Scheifling, former LinkedIn career coach and author of Linked, Conquer LinkedIn, Get the Job, Own Your Future. So let's learn more about LinkedIn. I might be the only dumbass that doesn't know everything that he's about to say, but either way, this should be educational and informative and entertaining. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 75 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, author of Link, Conquer LinkedIn, Get the Job, Own Your Future, former LinkedIn career coach, Jeremy Scheifling. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So just a little background about me, because I figure we could get this started with an old guy that's been at his job for literally 20 years and probably not as active on LinkedIn as I could or should be. For somebody like myself that's been literally with my company for 20 years, what would some of the benefits be of LinkedIn? And then we'll get to some of the techniques that I know you guys use in your book to get noticed.
Yeah, great question. And this is really the big difference between LinkedIn and most other social networks, is that those places like Facebook and TikTok, they're great for wasting time,
yeah.
But they're not that productive, to be honest. And that's okay. You know, they know what they're good for. Whereas LinkedIn is all about a tool to help you achieve a goal. And so the first question is, what's your goal? So what would you say, for instance, like, you want to get out of your career at this stage?
More money. Obviously.
More money. Okay, so there we go. So your boss may be sad to hear about this, but on LinkedIn, you can do a couple things. Number one, you can do salary research. So you can go over there and say, hey, show me how much radio hosts are being paid in my market, how much they're being paid in my competition. And you can say, hey, boss, you know, the market is showing me that things have gone a lot up with all the inflation the last couple of years. Time to pay up and, you know, meet that market demand. So that's one thing.
Wow.
In addition, and I know your boss is probably getting a little antsy as they hear this. You can also go on there and you can just sort of get a sense of what else is available. So like maybe you're not ready to look for a new job, but you can network with other stations, other opportunities, build these relationships. And then maybe someday they make you an offer just out of the blue and you don't have to take that offer. But now you have more leverage to go back to your current boss and say, hey, this is how much I'm worth. This is what the competition is going to pay me. Can you match that? So just ways to increase your compensation without being a jerk about it.
As somebody that hasn't searched for a job in many years, has LinkedIn taken the place of sending your resume out? Is it more of like, you don't really do that anymore? It just lives on LinkedIn now? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it is tempting to say, yeah, resumes are dead. But the truth is, it's actually a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So absolutely. I now get this great experience having been on LinkedIn for a while, built up my profile, where recruiters are coming to me from Google and Facebook and other places saying, hey, Jeremy, we came across you on our searches. You look pretty good. And that's always flattering, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in that basket. If I was looking for a job, I would also be applying with my resume and also reaching out on LinkedIn to build those networked relationships. So definitely it's both as opposed to one or the other.
So let's get into some of the techniques. Let's start with somebody like me. Like if I just wanted to sit there and maybe another company, maybe a marketing company, maybe not necessarily a radio company or something like that, could look and be like, okay, I could use a skill set like this and I would pay way more than what he's making now. Like what would I'm not asking this. I don't want to get out of my
hypothetically.
Current. Yeah. Yeah. Hypothetically, of course. Yes.
Yeah. So basically the trick is, and this is really important, is if you want to make a career change at any point, you've got to express that on LinkedIn. A lot of times people say, Jeremy, I love LinkedIn because I'm hearing from these recruiters, but everyone's recruiting me for the job that I used to do, not the job that I want to do next. And essentially they're typecast. Well, I say, well, look at your profile. If your profile says, I am a radio host, I do radio, surprise, surprise, recruiters see that and say, I'm going to hire you for radio jobs.
Right.
Whereas if you want to break into marketing, you could say, aspiring marketer, searching for marketing opportunities. And just that simple little tweak now lets recruiters know, hey, he's in the game. He's one of us. Let me check him out.
Do you run into people who maybe do want to do a change, but are at their job and they're like kind of scared to put that out there? Because I mean, chances are your boss is on LinkedIn too, right?
That's right. And he might be looking for a job as well. Who knows? it is the great resignation, right? So in any case, what I would do is totally get that. And if you don't feel comfortable changing it publicly, that's fine. But there's a new thing on LinkedIn called Open to Work. And what that is basically a bat signal to the world of recruiters, but it's a secret signal. It only goes out to people who are using the recruiting platform on LinkedIn and only recruiters who don't work at your current company. So you don't have to worry about the HR department ratting you out to your current boss.
Nice.
So
nice.
Looking on the down low.
That's called Open
to Work.
Okay, and I'm not doing this. I really do love my job. I really am staying where I'm at. I do enjoy this work, but this is fascinating to me because, like I said, I haven't been out there for a long time. And I know I got this job in 2001 and I've been here since. And there was no LinkedIn when I started. So what was the goal of, you were at LinkedIn at the conception?
Not there at the very beginning, not there at the big bang. But I was there when they IPO'd, which is a big moment for it.
Yeah. And so what were your goals as a company then when you were there?
Yeah. So a lot of it is about expanding LinkedIn to new audiences. So early on, people who got LinkedIn were recruiters, salespeople, CEOs, you know, they understand the power of networking. But college students, they were like, what do I need another social network for? Especially a boring one with my mom and dad on it. And so my job there was to convince them, hey, if you want to launch your career, you don't want to be stuck in your parents' basement eating ramen for the rest of your life. LinkedIn is where you got to go. So really trying to democratize that access beyond just the usual suspects.
I love that. And I see the great opportunity democratizer. Is that what you're talking about there?
That's exactly right.
So let's talk about algorithms, because something that we deal with in radio or in the influencer world is constantly trying to please Mark Zuckerberg and his algorithm. So what are some of the algorithm pleasing techniques when it comes to LinkedIn?
Yeah. So I'm happy to say that as fancy as LinkedIn can seem, it's actually pretty simple when you peel back the layers of the onion, because deep down, all the algorithm is doing a simple match. Are you a good fit from one side of the hiring table to the other side? Mm-hmm. So it starts on the recruiter side. You know, as a recruiter, I type in, I need someone who's really great at accounting, who knows QuickBooks, who knows bookkeeping. Those are the things I want. And then the algorithm scrapes my profile and says, aha, Jeremy's got QuickBooks, he's got bookkeeping, he's got accounting. Ding, ding, ding. We've got a winner here. And so really start with the job you want, scrape all that good verbiage right off the job description, and then feed it right back into your profile. That's the easiest way to win.
Wow. So it almost sounds like a dating app.
Yeah, that's right. It's trying to find that eHarmony, that match.com magic from one side to the other.
Yes, you're trying to find good matches there. The ideal resume template to win over an applicant, what would that be?
Yeah, so it's very similar for resumes as for LinkedIn itself, which is, again, the recruiter doesn't want to read through thousands of applications because that ruins their weekend. So they say, hey, let me let the computer do what it's good at, which is quickly digesting all its information and spitting out a few results. And again, the computer is just saying, hey, does this resume have this word and that word and the other stuff right out of the job description? If so, you're going to the winner's circle. If not, you can leave the building now. And so as harsh as that is, it just makes sense for a recruiter because, you know, they don't want to have to slave away looking through all this stuff if they don't have to.
I'm dumb to LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn page, I believe. I haven't probably updated it in 10 to 15 years or however long. I know that there is an industry where you can pay somebody to kind of do your LinkedIn page for you. One, is that something that you would recommend, or you just recommend people doing it themselves? And two, what would a nice LinkedIn page look like? Because I'm thinking, like, when somebody, I paid somebody to do my MySpace page 20 years ago, and it had a good song and it had all these graphics and it was super cool. What would a really tricked out LinkedIn page, you know, look like?
Yeah. So first of all, in terms of, do you need to pay someone for this? Absolutely not. And I say that as someone who sometimes charges people for it. I'm like, I'll do it for you, but you don't need that. So a couple of free resources. on our website, thejobinsiders.com, we have a free profile grader. It basically grades your profile from A to F and tells you exactly what to fix. And then if you want to generate your own list of keywords, what's really critical for your industry, go over to another site called jobscan.co and it'll automatically spit out, here are the most important keywords for your dream job and here are the ones you're missing today. So that'll get you started. And then what does a great profile look like? Well, it doesn't look as beautiful as an old school MySpace page, but what it looks like is a page that's in harmony with itself. And what I mean by that is your cover photo, your headline, your about section, all is singing from the same hymnal. I am all in on radio or marketing or accounting. And so if you're looking for someone in that space, you have come to the promised land. It's all about the fact that I can do that job in my sleep. And I'm going to rock it for you.
And I guess they don't let you do music on there like they did in my
Well, I will tell you, you can embed a lot of stuff on your profile these days. So if you've got some of the old school MP3s, yeah. Go ahead and upload.
There you have it. You could have, I don't know how that'll get you noticed or not, or noticed in the right way, but nonetheless, it'll get you noticed, I'm guessing. How to get a leg up in the hidden job market that accounts for 3/4 of who actually gets hired. Kind of break that down for me.
Yeah, I know that sounds scary, the hidden job market.
Yeah, that does sound scary.
Well, it basically comes back to this idea of relationships being so critical. So if you put yourself in the shoes of a hiring manager, and you're thinking about everything you're going to have to do to find top candidates, post the job, be deluged with applications, go through all these interviews. And then you're like, wait a second, but I already know this person who's awesome for the job. Why wouldn't you just go to that person and give them the opportunity versus going through that gauntlet of pain and suffering?
Right.
And so a lot of times people will never post the job. They'll just share it with friends, with family, with people in their network. And that's the hidden job market. Mm. And the only way you tap into it is when you plug into that network too, by building relationships.
Okay. That's a great way to think about it, because I don't think when you said hidden job market, I didn't think of that part of it, I guess. Job seeking hacks, passing through common recruiter filters, trying to engage candidates, to playing who viewed my profile roulette. Explain exactly all of that.
Yeah, totally. So this is a really interesting story. When I worked at LinkedIn, there was this young college student who really wanted to break into the video gaming space. And if you know anything about that industry, it is brutally competitive. Everyone wants to, you know, work on the next big hit. And so what she did, because she didn't have a strong background there, is she basically said, if it's going to come down to relationships, I got to start building those even while I'm still in school. So she went to the top pages for executives at Electronic Arts, Activision, Blizzard, Xbox, PlayStation. And guess what? On LinkedIn, because you can see who viewed your profile, all those fancy pants executives were a little vain, a little egotistical. And so they checked out her profile in turn. Who is this college student checking me out? And so once that happened, she really had them. She was like, okay, I noticed that you checked me out. I checked you out. I know you got to be totally busy right now, but could I have even 10 minutes to chat with you about your experience? And from those conversations, she got introductions. From those introductions, she got referrals. And from those referrals, she got her big break in the biz, where she is still today. So it's all about spinning that roulette wheel, seeing who you're going to find.
Yeah, man, shoot your shot is what we say, right?
That's right.
I think when one thing that gives me anxiety whenever I've had to do a resume over the years, which again has not been often, is wording. Like, it feels like resumes word things very fancy, and it's like, do you really do that, or do I run the board here? Like, how do you say that in resume speech? How important is wording when it comes to LinkedIn? Does it have to be super fancy, like it feels like it has to be on a resume?
Yeah, such a good question. So really, the only thing that matters is that you match the exact skill from the job description, because computers aren't that sophisticated. They don't know about run the board or blah, blah, blah. All they know is that the recruiter put in sound editing, right?
Right.
And so now, if your resume says, you know, oversaw sound editing for one of America's top radio programs, leading to a nomination for a big award and 100,000 new listeners. Well, guess what? The algorithm doesn't care about everything else, but it sees sound editing and it says, yes, check that box. He's in.
So again, just to refresh, and I think you touched on this earlier, the best way to find out what those terms are is to look at the job posting and kind of copy and paste it over, correct?
Yeah. So pretty much every job posting is going to have a bunch of filler stuff, like must be a leader, must be a team player, blah, blah, blah. But then they're going to be those like harder, more technical skills like sound editing or radio production. They're going to pop off the page and then you're going to say, aha, that's the stuff that is distinctive to this industry and this job. That's the stuff I must nail on my resume.
How important is a college education in this day and age? And I asked that as somebody who dropped out after 4.5 years. Is that more important than experience at this point?
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. After like 50 years of the premium of a college education going up and up and up, where people who went to college got even more opportunities, it's actually going in the reverse direction for the first time in half a century. And I think that's because we're starting to realize, especially in the midst of the Great Resignation, we need more talent. And applying an arbitrary rule that says, just because you don't have a BA, you're out of the running, doesn't make sense. We're shooting ourselves in the foot as an employer. And so more big companies out there are taking that out of their job descriptions and going totally wide open for the first time.
All right, I got one more and I'll let you out of here. What doesn't matter? Like, what do we think, especially like common misconceptions? Like, what would somebody think? Oh, this matters a lot. I'm going to pay a lot of attention to this. And it really, who cares?
Yeah.
It's not going to get you a job. What are those things that really just don't matter?
The biggest thing I see is because people lump LinkedIn with all the other social networks. We've all been told that the way you get influence and followers and all that good stuff is by posting a ton, right? People who are tweeting 100 times a day about what they had for lunch and, you know, how they're feeling in the afternoon and that kind of thing. If you do that on LinkedIn, there's no penalty for doing that. But think about how that would feel to a recruiter. I'm not more likely to hire you just because you're a prolific tweeter or a prolific LinkedIn poster. Instead, I'm going to hire you for the things that are true to you in terms of, what are you good at? What are you awesome at in the world compared to everyone else? And if you nail those things, nothing else matters.
Sometimes less is more.
There you go.
Jeremy Schiefling, author, Linked, Conquer LinkedIn, Get the Job, Own Your Future. Go check it out, especially if you're trying to get a new job. Not me, but I'm gonna check out the book anyway, because you never know when you're going to be looking for a job, for sure. And I'm definitely weak on LinkedIn. Much stronger now after having this conversation, though. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you on social media, LinkedIn, whatever?
Yeah. So obviously look me up on LinkedIn. Come over to our website, thejobinsiders.com. We'd love to connect and wish you all tremendous success on the adventure that is your career.
There it is. Jeremy Schiefling, thank you so much for taking time to do this.
My pleasure.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. Want to say thank you once again to my guest, Jeremy Schiefling. Make sure you check out his book, Conquer LinkedIn. Dropping gems throughout the entire book, I promise you that, especially if you know nothing about LinkedIn like I don't. But even if you think that you're a master of LinkedIn, he actually worked there, so pick up his book. Trust me, he knows more about it than you do. Brand new episode drops next Wednesday morning. My guest next week, super excited to have him on, Fred M., the founder of Media Takeout. That's going to be dope. As always, no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast on, make sure you subscribe and follow it. If they let you rate and review, do that. Give me 5 stars and say something nice. If you have something negative to say, slide in my DMs if you just can't help yourself. If you have to say the negativity, you can slide in my DMs. No need to do that in a public forum. But that's my time. Brand new episode next week with Fred M. Excited about that. Thank you for checking out the podcast. I'm out.